This is Kim Grahn, CEO of Nokian Tyres. Good morning. I'm very pleased to welcome you all to this conference on Nokian Tyres' interim report for the first semester of 2011. And as usual, here in Helsinki, we have analysts and investors and media present. And I hope that we have a lot of people listening in to our conference. The material which we'll be using in this conference have been published on our website this morning, together with the stock exchange release. I'll try to remember to refer to the handout page, which I'm on, in order to make it easier for you to follow. I'll start with a summary about the market situation, our results of the first two quarters, and talk a little bit about the outlook and the market situation as we see it going forward during this year. And then, of course, we will talk about our profit centers more in detail, and about Russia, the market situation in Russia, how we see the competitive landscape, and also our expansion plans and what we are doing there. I'd like you all to please close your mobile phones in order to make sure that we don't have any problems when going forward. Let's start and turn to page 3, where we have a summary of our results. And on page 4 and 5, we have also some additional information about the market situation and our performance. The market in our geography, in the Nordic countries, Northern Europe, and in Russia, has been very healthy during the first 6 months of this year. We've seen GDP growth in Nordic countries and in Russia in the ballpark of 4%. And we expect this to continue also during the second half of this year, with Russia being perhaps for the full year being close to 5% in GDP. Consumer confidence has been quite good, and the macroeconomic problems which we see globally has not affected too much the spending of consumers. Car sales in the Nordic region has increased during the first 6 months this year by an average of 15% compared to last year, and in Russia by a staggering 56%. And we expect also the car sales to continue to be quite healthy in the north of Europe, and especially in Russia when going forward. Tire deliveries have also increased in line, but I'll come back to that later when talking about the different markets. Our second quarter was quite good. We managed to light launch new summer tires, which meant that our product mix was more weighted to summer tires this year than previously. So the share of winter tires during the second quarter was a bit lower, and quite a lot of pre-season wholesale business was pushed forward to Q3 and Q4, also in Vianor. But despite, we managed to increase sales by 30% compared to last year, and to increase also our EBIT by from 61 to 93 million compared to previous year. The EBIT margin improved from the first quarter, when we made 25% of EBIT on group level to 27.5. So we can be reasonably satisfied with the results of the first semester. Of course, as CEO, I'm never happy. There are things which could have been done slightly better, but as we go forward, we will, of course, try to improve further. When going into the second semester, Q3 and Q4, our order book is record high in all our manufacturing units and in all product groups, both for passenger car tires and for heavy tires. And therefore, with increasing capacity, we believe that we will be able to further improve our sales and EBIT generation during the second half, and provide strong top-line growth for this year, and clearly improved EBIT results compared to last year. Our production capacity or our production output increased in tons in manufacturing by 53%, but was not enough still to satisfy the demand in the marketplace. There is a contradiction. Somebody asked me already why our production increased more than our sales, and it has to do with the fact that production output during the first 6 months of 2010 was still quite low as we were selling inventories which were generated during the crisis. So the starting point and the comparison number for last year is quite low. Okay, then we'll move on to page 7, where we have the traditional like quarterly generation of EBIT. And so far, I've always been trying to give some guidance on how EBIT is going to develop and sales is going to be developing during the second half of the year. What is perhaps also worth noting is that both sales and EBIT as an absolute number was actually all-time high during the second quarter of this year. Of course, when moving forward, we will still be challenged during the second half by some increasing raw material cost. The raw material prices have peaked and will be leveling off, but due to some contracts, we will still see raw material cost continuing to go up a bit in Q3. However, with additional capacity, which is on stream both in the Finnish plant and also in Russia, we'll be able to increase output, and which will generate more sales. So we believe that we will be able to increase sales and also EBIT and also the EBIT margin a bit during the second half of this year. What the percentage and how much we've generated exactly during the first 6 months compared to the second half is of course very difficult to exactly state, as fourth quarter sales will be dependent on the winter tire market and when winter comes. But let's say we may have done 43-45% of EBIT generation during the first half and we'll do some more during the second, provided of course that the market helps and will be successful when ramping up additional capacity during the second half of the year. Let's then move on to the geographical markets in which we operate. We managed to increase sales in all our core markets and on those markets in which we operate, and simultaneously also to increase market share in our core products. In the Nordic region, the market volumes or the sell-in into distribution for the total industry was in the ballpark of 2% compared to the previous year, and we had a growth of 22% as a total, and in manufacturing almost 33%, which means that our market share in the Nordic region, Finland, Sweden, and Finland combined increased significantly. And we were especially successful in the launch of our new summer products. We have now in the Nordic region market share, which is in the ballpark of 20% of all the summer tires sold in the Nordic countries. And during the first 6 months, we have in the ballpark of 40% of all the winter tires sold in the Nordic region were Nokian branded. So we have a very healthy market share in the Nordic countries. In Russia, deliveries into distribution by the tire industry increased by an estimated 53-54%. And our sales increased in Russia by 110%, and in total Russia CIS by 102%. And in the premium segment, which is the most important and the value-added segment in Russia, we increased our market share in summer tires quite significantly, from ballpark 14% up to 18%, and in winter tires, we exceeded again 35% of the total premium segment. So we have also in Russia been able further improve our market position and market share. Central Europe, as a market, total replacement market in European region has increased during the first 6 months by 4%, which is roughly 4 or 5 million units. The winter tire segment actually increased by 20%, the shipments of winter tires, and was in the ballpark of 2 million more tires sold into distribution as from the industry during the first 6 months. And also here we have a good development in our sales. So all in all, quite a strong performance and an improvement in building distribution and that converting into sales in the manufacturing. Then let's talk about raw materials. On page 8 we have a consolidation of the raw material development. The raw material cost in our operation during the first 6 months increased by roughly 36% when looking at the unit price, euros per kilo, which is a quite a staggering number. We were able to increase our ASP, our average selling prices, by more than the required 8 to 9%, which means that our material margin improved slightly during the first semester of this year. For the full year, we have a headwind, which is in the ballpark of 95 million, which we need to cover, and raw material costs will continue to go up a bit during Q3 and then level off in Q4. Our ASP will continue to grow as a function of mix improving and also some still further price increases, which will be implemented during the second half of the year. And also the fact that the seasonal rebates for pre-season deliveries of winter tires will fade off as we move into the season itself, which automatically will improve the pricing and ASP. So we are quite confident that we'll be able to pass on all the raw material cost increases into pricing by mix improvement and price increases. So and keeping the margins intact. At the moment, also what is important is that there is a quite tight situation globally in the raw material market. Natural rubber has started to come down a bit and has leveled off. Synthetic rubber, which is in some grades, there is globally a shortage, especially some chlorobutyls and butyls, and also some players. Tire makers have problems with carbon black deliveries. In our case, we have no shortages. We are fully covered for this year, and we'll also be able to agree like volumes forward, which means that when building the new factory in Russia, we have already covered and are safe when moving forward, are able to supply also the increasing volumes of production. Then we will move on further and talk a bit more about the passenger car business and move after that to Russia. In the passenger car business, which now represents about 70% of the total revenue of the company, is very profitable. We managed to make in the ballpark of between 35 and 36% of EBIT. In this business, which is growing quite strongly. We managed to increase production output by about 48%. The total increase in production volume for this year will be between 35 and 40%, as we are also ramping up new lines in Russia. We started line 9 during the summer. The installation and the ramp up of the 10th line is ongoing and will be up and running that line in September. And the Finnish factory is also now back to, in all product groups, back to full utilization, which means that we've started the 7-day week when coming back from holidays and will be producing, again, the maximum output as from August September, and the ramp up has been quite successful when looking at it. This means that our capacity with the like changes we've done, and additional like factory coming on stream during next year, during summer, will be able to increase on top of what we've done this year steel capacity next year by more than 20% as an annual output. Of course, providing that the macroeconomics doesn't disturb our like markets and the picture in demand. When going into this year, the visibility and order book is quite good. We have practically sold out the capacity for the full year, so we know what we are going to be doing and are more or less planning how to allocate and how to go forward when going into next year. We are back in a way to the situation which was the traditional, let's say, situation before the crisis, which is that we have more orders than we have capacity, which means that all capacities are running all the time at full utilization and we are adding to capacity. So we are back to the model trying to have 10 to 20% more demand than we have supply base and being able to act selectively as in the past. So when going forward, our game plan for the second half is add the capacity, allocate and take care of the core business and utilize all and the best growth opportunities in the marketplace. The demand seems quite healthy in the north of Europe and in Russia, also in the rest of the CIS. Then a couple of words about Russia and our situation there. First, a couple of macroeconomics. Or general things about Russia. The Russian GDP is expected to be in the ballpark of 5% during this year. Some people say 4, some people say 5, something around it. Consumer confidence and industry confidence has been improving since the crisis, and consumer spending is actually quite strong. Car sales and also, for instance, housing sales are quite strong, and which is explained perhaps by the fact that the financing of banks to consumers is back. Car sales is up, as we stated earlier, by 56%. We expect it to be up on an annual basis for the full year by roughly 30%, taking it back to about 2.5, 2.6 million. Cars being registered in Russia during this year. We believe that the car sales would have been even stronger during this year if the availability and the allocation from car manufacturers would have been there. And at least the car manufacturers seem quite optimistic about Russia as the investment, increasing capacity in existing factories and also new plants for car manufacturing is going up. An example of the latest one is announcement by Mazda to build a plant in Russia. So we believe that Russia is going to continue to provide us as quite healthy the growth and during this year, and again providing that macroeconomics are all right also for the next 5 to 7 years. Based on our game plan, we expect the tire market to continue to grow at an average in volume terms of roughly 8.5 to 9%, and in value terms by more than 20% per annum when going forward. We believe that there's going to be at least 5 to 7 years of growth potential based on the car park expanding and also the replacement market continuing to grow. Our sales and position has improved after the crisis again quite strongly with market shares improving and capacity and distribution being built. And during the first half, we doubled our sales in Russia. Also, Ukraine is now coming back on stream. We, of course, after the crisis in Ukraine, were like taking back and not selling too much in Ukraine. But during the second half of this year, we will again continue and to develop the Ukrainian business. So we target to actually do all-time high sales in Russia during this year, passing the pre-crisis levels, both in volume and in value terms. Also, the profitability of the Russian plant is back to where we used to be before the crisis, which is quite healthy numbers. The most important, or one of the most important things in Russia, especially now when competitors are starting to build their operations, is the further development of our distribution base. And on page 14, there is a picture of the map of Vianor. We continue to build Vianor in the Russia CIS area. We have now 450 Vianor shops. We added about 50 shops during the first 6 months during this year, and will continue to add to shops during the second half with roughly the same numbers as we did during the first two quarters. For instance, we have a plan, or actually are in the process of opening 8 new Vianor shops in the city of St. Petersburg during the second semester of this year. The other development areas is, of course, car dealers are also starting to sell more tires in Russia. We've opened 5 new car dealer business service centers in the regions, serving all the like areas and giving a better like service base into the country. The third thing in the development of distribution in Russia is that during August, the plan is by mid-August to start online sales. The Nokian.ru and the Vianor.ru will be opened and in operation by mid-August with direct sales of tires to consumers. And we are the first and only tire manufacturer doing that in the region of Russia, CIS. And basically, we will gradually start to develop also this model, which is increasing in globally, in North America, in Central Europe, and now we are introducing it into the Russia CIS area also. I will pass the macro and car sales things, which I already mentioned, and talk a little bit about the market development as we see it when going forward. We believe that this year, the total volume of tire sales in the replacement market is already going to pass the pre-crisis levels, and that the total volume in Russian tire sales is going to be in the ballpark of 36 million units. The structure of the market has slightly changed during and after the crisis. By the B segment, estimates have been being increased a bit compared to the pre-crisis, and also the fact that the so-called C segment, when looking at the pricing of the domestic players, has changed, is partly melting into the B segment when going forward. Our strategy is to play with a two tiers of brands for the A segment, where we are market leaders. I already mentioned previously our market shares in this segment, where we are dominant and clear market leaders in A segment, by value by far the biggest. We have the Nokian Hakka Pelita and Nokian Hakka product range. In the B segment, we introduced them a couple of years ago, the Nordman range, which we now call Nokian Nordman, which is Nokian is the brand. We have then two sub-brands, the Hakka Pelita and the Nordman brands in the B segment. When looking at the sales and the proportion of sales in these segments presently, roughly 60% of our sales in volume terms is in the A segment, and about 40% of our sales in Russia is in the B segment. And we are actually the market leader in both. Then a couple of words still about the factory and what we are doing there. Also a couple of words about what the incentives and the new factory. We have been operating now 8 lines with a capacity of roughly 8 million during this year so far. We've ramped up the 9th line, which is in operation, and the 10th line is going up. The new 2 lines which are installed during this year are what we call the new technology, which has a capacity of 50% more output than the previous lines, which means that roughly 1.5 million per unit. So with these 2 lines, our annual capacity will go up to 11 million. Also, we are in a process of increasing the production on the existing lines and doing some modernization and adding to the existing plant, which we built in 2005, which will further increase the number from 11 million. So gradually, we will also start increasing output on the existing lines, and we started that work. We have also now already started the earthwork and the construction of the new plant next to the existing one, and also a warehouse, roughly totally about 54,000 square meters of space being built, which will house a new warehouse and 4 new production lines with a capacity, nominal capacity of roughly 6 million units. The reason we say 5 to 60 will depend, of course, on what type of like product mix we are going to be utilizing in the factory. The factory building we expect to be completed during spring, during next year, and we will start installation of machinery during spring, early summer, and then ramp up additional capacity during summer. Our production people have promised me that before midsummer next year, we can celebrate tires from the new factory, and so far they've been able to keep their promises. Also, all the new lines going into the new factory are the new type, which means that labor productivity and the productivity of the lines are in extremely good and in fact better than in the existing plant. All the tax holiday and incentive negotiations have been completed, and all the agreements have been signed by both parties, the Lenoblast and by Nokia Tyres, which means that the tax holiday and incentive programs, which we've been enjoying since we started, will be prolonged by between 5 and 10 years. It's difficult to say exactly how many years. That's dependent on how much profit we make and how much, in what period we can offset all the incentives and tax holidays which we've been granted. But in practice, it's equal and in line with what we've had in the past. The effect to the group has been that we have been paying during the past couple of years on group level the tax of in the ballpark of 18.5% to 19%, which means that during this year, that's what we estimate, and when going forward, we have a chance also of keeping the group tax rate at a reasonable level. We have also, one of the challenges in Russia is, of course, keeping the people you employ. So retention plans are extremely important, and that's why we decided also to add to our existing Hakkapeliitta village. So we will start building flats and housing again for our personnel who will buy them from us, and with the same terms as before, and we expect that to be completed during 2012. The retention rate, by the way, is the turnover in our factory is quite well below 10%, which is quite exceptional for the St. Petersburg area, especially in the car industry. Okay, then a couple of words about the heavy tire business, which also is running full speed. On page 19, we have been gradually ramping up the capacity. We are up and running full speed. Managed to increase sales dramatically, of course, compared to a low comparison base of last year, and an EBIT level of roughly 17-18%, which we believe we can actually continue having and perhaps improving a bit when moving forward during this year. So, of course, we are very much related to the replacement market and more than anything to the machine building, especially in the forestry tire sector, where forestry machine building is our biggest single end use. The market situation is quite good. We are back to the same level of order book which we had before crisis in 2007, 2008. And also our customers seem to be estimating same type of volumes when going forward and some increases. Okay, time will tell whether they are right in the present situation. We've decided to increase the capacity in the plant in Finland by roughly 25%. We have already started the building of an extension to the plant, and the installation of the machinery is already starting, which means that we'll gradually during next year and increase the capacity and the full effect of the additional 25% production capacity will be fully in use by 2013. So it's a gradual build-up. It's not a miracle happening over one night. Our situation for the end of this year is quite good. Visibility, like in the passenger car sector, is good, and we expect no big surprises when moving forward. Truck and bus, I'll pass just by stating that it's a small part of our business, but it contributes to building the Vianor network, and in itself it's a fast growing and a quite profitable operation in line with other heavy tires, slightly better than that. Then a couple of words about Vianor, where the second quarter, of course, with the summer season being on, was quite successful. We managed to make a nice profit in line with the previous year. Of course, the main task of Vianor is building the network and securing the distribution and the building of our operation. The wholesale business, the pre-season sale of winter tires was pushed forward from the fact that we were not able to supply Vianor, and that resulted in the top line not growing. So we actually had to move some business forward. The most growing part of Vianor is actually car service, which is developing quite fast. We managed to increase the service sales by in the ballpark of 25%, and that's one of the key things when moving forward is to bring the service of cars alongside tire business in order to promote and improve the profitability of it. When looking at the franchise operation, on page 22, we have now 820 stores totally in 22 countries. During this year, we've added a couple of countries into our network. We've opened shops in Italy, the first one in Italy, in northern Italy, the first one in Azerbaijan, and we also signed a master franchise contract in Romania during the first half, which will then convert into shops during the second half of this year. So we are confident that we'll have more than 900 Vianor shops in 23 countries by the end of this year. If I would have to guess today, I would say 910, 915 in that ballpark when looking at the projects which we have. And perhaps one interesting point is also that we've had a couple of shops, 12 shops in New England, in North America. We've now opened also the first franchise shops. So it would seem that like our long-term plan also in that New Hampshire and Vermont is starting to work. Then a couple of words about investment. Our CapEx for this year is estimated to be 140 million, which includes the startup of a new factory. Or actually the building and the construction of the new factory, investment of the new lines in Russia, some plant improvement in the Finnish plant, and then MOS and the Vianor development. When going forward during next year, we expect the investment to be roughly on the same level which we have for this year when building the new plant. This we have already discussed, and as a summary, we are, as you see, still still very confident about our own position. We believe that our marketplace in the north, in Russia, will stay intact during this year. Time will tell then how the bad news from Southern Europe and North America will affect the macroeconomics and our situation. But so far, we are running full speed, adding capacity, adding to product range, and are very positive about our future. Of course, like everybody else, we have a plan B in case there is something that will affect the business in our area. Thank you very much for your attention. We can now move to the Q&A, and I will start with the audience here in Helsinki.
This is Tom Skogman from Handelsbanken. To my understanding, you have not had that much of pre-sales of winter tires to Russia in the second quarter, and that is that going to be even bigger in the third quarter and in the second quarter? And do you have any considerations of growing the receivables in the old manner at the moment in Russia?
Well, we have had pre-season sales in Russia, as pre-season sales in Russia for winter tires starts immediately after the summer tire season. And in fact, already end of March, there is some, and then it continues during Q2. It will continue, as I stated, also during Q3 and early Q4. The allocation which we follow is basically that we are not able to serve all markets and fill them simultaneously. So normally we fill Russia CIS to a big part during Q2, follow up in Q3, and then we fill the Nordic countries during Q3, a part of Central Europe. And then by the beginning of Q4, we fill Central Europe. So there is a dynamic depending on the logistics structure, also the geographical span of the markets, and the fact that all markets have slightly different product ranges, which means that we have to time them into production in order to keep up the productivity. So what we said about pushing forward pre-season deliveries concerns Russia and also Scandinavia to some part. But we have, as I stated earlier, a very healthy order book limiting on too much.
So can you open up how big part of the Q2 sales was actually summer tires then?
As we have not written it out in our stock release, unfortunately, I can't give you a percentage.
Okay.
Last year we did it, and it was 54% winter in Q2, and this year it was less than that.
And then another question on the future competitive landscape in Russia. Do you have any understanding of these new factory investments that will go on there by competitors, of the intentions to serve the car industry, first of all, and what kind of movable parts are there in the Russian distribution? What kind of chains can be acquired and so on? Open up a bit about this, please.
Okay. Well, of course, I have my opinion, like everybody. There is the announcements by the companies of what they're going to be doing, and then there is speculation and opinions. My answer will be my opinion. And to some, based on let's say, having operated in Russia since 1987, and visited most of the plants. But if we first take the different, there is a Japanese company started with Y, opening a plant during end of this year, which has a capacity which is roughly equal to one of our new lines. They are building their distribution chain, and they have been quite successful in acquiring some shops together with a Japanese trading company. So they are operating in the B segment when we're looking at pricing. Then there is a German colleague or competitor who have announced that they will build a factory in Russia, which will start operation by end of 2013 in the proximity of some German car plants, very close to like Volkswagen, Kaluga, and other plants. Based on the information, they will actually target a volume of roughly 4 million tires when the factory is up and running. Normally, it would take in the ballpark of 2 to 3 years to ramp up the capacity after they started. So that will follow probably in 2014 and when going forward. You have to ask the German people who they are intending to sell. In the replacement market, they don't have a distribution like network of their own at the moment, but related to one which is quite strong in the Moscow. Then we have an Italian company going to invest or acquire in joint venture a factory in which we operated already in 2003-2004 in joint venture. And I have an opinion about that and the capabilities of the factory, which are not that positive, but I won't go into details. Time will tell. We actually were not successful in our joint operation in Kirov. Well, perhaps it's because we Finns are so hot-blooded that we couldn't like cope with so probably like the less hot-tempered Italians will do a better job with the Russians in Kirov. But time will tell. Of course, at least based on what they tell us, the pricing and profitability numbers which they announced would indicate that they will continue to operate in the B segment, price segment. But again, as I said, this is speculation and opinions, and you have to ask the companies themselves exactly what they are doing. But as you can see, I'm not too worried about it. Basically, we've been facing exactly the same competitors on our home market in the Nordic countries, being able to like become the leading company and further strengthen our position with what we are doing. And we are the leading company in Russia, CIS, and I see no reason why we could not compete very successfully against these companies also in the future. We had a head start of many years in the production and a much stronger position presently in distribution. And of course, our aim is to like further strengthen our position and keep it as it is.
Jorma Pöysä, Kauppalehti. The Russian economy did react very profoundly to the global recession or depression after the financial crisis. How do you see 2012 and 2013 now? How worried we should be about that Russian economy will collapse again and it will influence too?
Well, of course, it depends on whose crystal ball you're looking into and what factors you take in. But of course, we all know that the Russian economy is very dependent on raw materials, specifically oil prices. And we will have to follow, of course, the oil price development very closely. And provided that the oil price is intact, the Russian economy will probably continue to grow and be healthy. But in the event of like raw material prices and oil prices going dramatically down as it did in 2008-2009, Russia of course will face again some problems and a different scenario. And of course in that case, what we presented here will have to be reviewed to reflect the changing market situation. That's the plan B which I was referring to.
Artem Beletsky is being shielded. Could you maybe talk more about the pricing conditions, what you are seeing right now in accordance with Q1? You've been talking about 4-7% price increases starting from May. How those ones are proceeding, and what kind of plans are you having for the remainder of this year?
Yeah. Well, first of all, we have increased prices, as I stated, by double digits when looking at euros per kilo during the beginning of the year. And we have also already made a decision or decisions to increase prices further during summer and early autumn or in Russia, both for the Hakkapeliitta and the Nordmann brands, and also for winter tires in Central Europe. And the price increases, on top of that, there is the seasonal rebates, as I stated, depending on when customers, in a way, take deliveries. There is a gradual like increase of price when moving into the season and the rebate fading off. So, as I stated, we have not announced exactly how much we will be increasing prices, but we believe that we have a chance of like with productivity and country mix also improving to offset and improve margins further. So what that will convert to, as I said, in Central Europe, we are talking about, depending on like product group, from 2 to 6%, depending on country and so on. In Russia, we have also made a second round of increases. In the Scandinavian region, we are presently not targeting further price increases for the second half.
And in general about the market, in Q1 you talked about somewhat overheated market conditions within winter tires. So
yeah.
Did situation actually get worse during, let's say, couple of months?
I would say that the demand has further increased. So the demand as such is not leveling off or going down. It's continuing to increase. When talking about our markets and our product groups till today.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, there seems to be no further questions from the audience here in Helsinki. We'll move on then to the phone lines and see whether there is some questions from our friends abroad.
First question comes from the line of Johan Eliasson from Chevron. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, hi. I was just wondering, coming back to this Russian story with the competitors entering the market with manufacturing as well. I think last year you kind of highlighted that you have a margin premium in your core market, which is like Nordic and Russia vis-a-vis the other markets. If I'm not totally wrong, you said something about 32% versus 25% or so. But if we look at the margin in your core markets, i.e. the Nordics, where you do have a level playing field, I guess, with the names you mentioned, and in Russia, where you have this advantage of having local manufacturing, is there a big margin difference there?
Well, let's put it this way, that we are market and price leaders in Scandinavia. So we have the volume, we are in volume terms market leaders, and also in absolute terms in pricing, we have the highest prices, where we have a premium on top of the other high players. In winter tires, it's slightly higher than in summer tires, where we have roughly par with the global big competitors. When looking at Russia, we have three tiers of pricing. In winter, our top newest brand is by far the most expensive tire in Russia. Despite that, we have no problems in selling it. There is very high demand. The second tier Hakkapeliitta brand is on par with the global price leader, which comes from Europe. And then we have the Nordmann brand, which is on par with the Japanese and let's say the southern European players. And that has been the case already for many years. We don't see with the entry of production capacity that price picture changing. And in fact, like when we're talking about the southern European company, all the volumes which they acquiring are already in the marketplace. So it's not additional capacity they are like bringing into the marketplace. They are basically just starting to upgrade some of the domestic brands, and they are playing in the B to C segment borderline.
Okay, great. Many thanks.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Thomas Besson from Bank of America. Please go ahead with your question.
Thank you. Hi, Kim. Two questions, please. Firstly, I'd like to come back to your comment on why your sales volumes is effectively growing less than your production volumes. Would you mind giving us some exact numbers so that we can play with the inventory delta? Like how many tiles have been produced or how many kilos have been produced, how your volumes have changed and how your inventories in volumes have changed, or is it something you don't want to disclose?
Yeah, well, as you know, Thomas, it's unfortunate I can't do that as we have not published them and we have to treat all investors and analysts the same. But let's, in broad terms, the factory in Finland last year was running practically 3 to 4 days, whereas it's now been running 6 days during the first 6 months, and we are moving up to 7. And then the production capacity in Russia, which we had, was not fully utilized. So we were running significantly less than we had capacity, as we were basically like eating into the inventories which we had from the crisis in 2009. If you go back in history and check up the like quarterly inventory numbers of end of 2009 and then second quarter of 2010, you will find out roughly where what we are talking about.
Okay, can you then confirm that effectively your inventories today, which in euros are higher, are effectively lower in volumes at the end of H1?
They are more or less on par. We've had a slight increase in volume to past 100,000 pieces when looking at like the first like 6 months. So there has been a slight increase in inventory, but which is means that the inventory level is far too low when looking at the service levels, as we have more than 1,000 SKUs and it's split into like 12 countries. So what you have as an inventory, and of course the inventory value itself is reflected by the fact that we value our stock based on production cost, and raw material cost has gone up by 36% compared to the previous year, which means that the difference of roughly 100 million is explained more or less by raw material cost going up.
Yeah, very clear. Last question, Kim. On synthetic rubber, you mentioned that it keeps rising. Can you just remind us if there's any specific price or elements on your own supply versus the numbers we can see?
Well, when we're looking at synthetic rubber, of course we are sourcing more domestically in Russia compared to our competitors, but we utilize the same suppliers in the West also. So a company started with E and a company started with L are suppliers to us, as you would imagine.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, thank you very much, Kim.
Thank you so much.
There are no further questions registered on the phone.
Okay, there seems to be no further questions. In that case, I thank you for your participation in our conference and see you again after Q3. Have a nice end of the summer.